Kavod Shavuos, I decided to give a shiur tonight on Inyanei Maimon Har Sinai. Next week I won't be able to give a shiur. That's why I'm giving a shiur tonight. In Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Tosfos that we have some, once in a while we have a Kriyas HaTorah that's a mitzvah min HaTorah. Once every 7 years we have a Hakel, that's clearly a Kriyas HaTorah that's min HaTorah. But even once a year, Tosfos raises the possibility that maybe Parsha Zocha once a year, every year, is a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvos is of the opinion that the Kriyas HaTorah on Shavuos regarding Maimon Har Sinai is a mitzvah min HaTorah to learn once a year every year based on the pasuk in Boaz Chanan that says Hisham l'cho shma nafshach meyot pen tishkach ha-sadoam sh'aroh v'necha pen yisur v'vach kolam hechayecho v'hidaitan l'vanecha l'vnei v'necha yom shem arta l'pnei shem l'kecha v'choyrev. Ramban says that's what it says, you have to learn Parshas Maimon Har Sinai. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Shavuot. You can lay it on Parshas Boaz Chanan. You can lay it on Parshas Yisroel. But once a year, every year, like Parshas Zocha, we assume once a year, every year, one should lay the Parsha of Maimon Har Sinai. What exactly was Maimon Har Sinai all about? So the Gemara said, why was it recorded in the Chumash? It was just a great historical event. What's the halachic relevance? What's the significance? So the Gemara says that all of us are Jewish because of the Geirus. If a non-Jew comes and wants to convert, he has to undergo Maitre Geirus. I don't know if maybe I'm a descendant of a Geir. Let's say the Kohanim and the Levim, no, they're not descendants of Geirus, at least from their father's side. So it's not true. Everybody is a Geir. On the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai, the whole Klal Yisrael had to undergo a Maitre Geirus, and the dinam of Geirin L'Deirus, that one can accept their convert, if it's a man, he has to have a bris milah, and if it's a woman, she has to nashrat bris milah, so you have tefillah and a mikveh, and the ger has to bring a korban. This is all learned out from Maimon Har Sinai. The Gemara increases the Abtestam and Aleph, learns out from the pasuk that makes a comparison to the our Ovis. Ma v'sechna nichnas elibris elibmilah tefillah v'hartzoaz damim. Hartzoaz damim means yikas hadam on the mizbeach. Every ger requires Milo Tzvilo, if it's a male, Milo Tzvilo and a korban. This is based on Maimon Har Sinai. Then at that occasion, everybody had to have Milo and Tzvilo and a korban. I win Mekabel Gerim Bizman Hazeh, there's no korban. So the Gemara increases, asks that Kasha, how is it possible to be Mekabel Gerim Bizman Shein based on Mikdash Kayim? So the Gemara says, no, there's a pasuk that says, V'chiyog Yeritchem Ger, the Dorasechem, that it's possible to be Mekabel Gerim throughout all the future generations, even if you live in a generation where there is no based on Mikdash, because the pasuk the Chumash talks about the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being Chariv. Hashemotzi has Mikdash Echem in this week's Sedra. So despite the fact that the Chumash speaks about the possibility of living in a generation where there is no Beis HaMikdash, the Chumash says, you can accept the Geir throughout all the generations. So that's how the Gemara establishes the din that the HaKrovus HaKorban for the Geir is not Lizkuva. How did the Gemara know that they needed all these three things, the Milah and Tzilah and Korban? So the Gemara says the Milah was not immediately prior to Maimon Har Sinai. The Milah was 7 weeks early, before they brought the Korban Pesach. So everybody was required to have a Bris Milah. So the Pashto says that Bris Milah was for HaKrovus Korban Pesach. They were told in Parshas Vayikra Yochol Bo, so everybody had to undergo Milah. So the Gemara says no, that was one reason. One reason for the Milah was in order to be able to participate in Korban Pesach. And another reason, even though it doesn't say in Parshas Vayikra, another reason is the Gemara had a tradition that was the first step in the Geirus, and the Geirus was going to be completed at Maimon Har Sinai. Who says that everybody had tzvila in a mikveh? The pasuk says only the married people had tzvila. A balkeri, a woman who's married polet to shit lazera, was not permitted to participate in Maimon Har Sinai. The Gemara says in Tzohim that there are three machnas, there's machna shchina, machna levi, machna yisrael. So no tzami is permitted into the Azor, that's Machna Shchina, into the Machna Leviya, the Harabayis, anyone, some Tamei are permitted in Atar to enter, but only a Tamei who has the Tumah Yotzan and Megufa is not permitted to enter. And in the Yerushalayim that has the Din of Machna Yisrael, so only a Metzoris that didn't enter. Thank you. So the Gemara says that Maimon Har Sinai, at that occasion, Har Sinai had the status, where the Jewish people were, had the status of Machna Leviya. Anyone who had a Tumah Yotzal Megufa wasn't permitted to be present at that time. The Gemara says that's why there was a din similar, not 100% identical, but a similar din to Machna Leviya, that the Balkari with the Palet Shechazera had to go to Mikveh, because otherwise, and they had to have Har Shemesh, otherwise they wouldn't be able to participate in the Maimon HaSinai. So how do you know that the single people, let's say there would be a man or a woman who is neither a Balkari nor a Palet Shechazera, so who says that everybody had tefillah in the Mikveh? It only says in the Chumash that the married people had tefillah. So the Gemara points out that in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says that they had to bring special karbanas on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and those were the karbanas of the ger. That's what we know, Lador, is that there's a din, that the ger has to bring a karban. He doesn't have to bring the most expensive karban, he has to bring the least expensive karban oil. He can either bring an oil of behemah, if you can afford it, oil of behemah is going to cost a fortune of money, or if you want to bring an oil of oif. So the Gemara says, strictly speaking, if a person brings in a dove, he can bring one, the hikrivo, he can bring one, pray to achas, one bird. But if it's a korban choiva that you mechuyiv to bring, so you never have an oil asayif by itself. You either have an oil asayif together with a chatzas asayif, or an oil asayif together with a chatzas deimo, or an oil asayif together with another oil asayif. Take, for example, the Rambam's opinion is that you can be out to the mitzvah of Riyah, oil asriyah. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, you have to bring an oil asriyah. Riyah, Chagigah, and Simcha. So you have to bring an oil asriyah. So the Rambam's gears in the Gemara, not the way we have. The Rambam had a gears in the Gemara that oil asayif is also good. But that's an oiler, that's a chayba, that's not an adobe. So according to the Rambam, oil asayif is good, so the mabit, right, in the Kiryas Sefer, has to be two oil asayif. Because to bring one prey to achas, one oil asayif, that's only if it's bob and adobe. If it's bob and chayba, you have to have two. So the Mishnah records that it was a common practice that Gerim didn't have so much money, so they wanted, it's very surprising that there was so many Gerim on the, right before, right after the Churban Habayis, there were so many non-Jews who were converting. What were the Jews were so downtrodden. It was like after the war, the Nazis treated the Jews like dirt, like swine. So in the days of the Romans, when they were killing all the Jews and they were destroying basically, you would be it's surprising that anybody was interested in converting. Because we have records in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras. There were many Gerim at that time. Rabbi Akiva had several Talmidim, prominent Talmidim who were Gerim. Mishnayos talks about it, and then that's when they composed the Olam HaShinim and the Bracha of Olam HaShinim and the next Bracha Allah Tzadik Malach HaShinim Al Geri HaTzadik V'Aleinu, because there was a whole group of Geri HaTzadik, a whole movement of so many Gerim. So the Mishnayos record that the Gerim couldn't afford to bring an oil of Sahim, so they used to bring an oil of Sahim, but they can't bring one because it's a Chayva, so they bring two oil of Sahim, a Kan, two oil of Sahim. So that's learned out from Parshas Mishpatim. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim it says that Bnei Yisrael brought a whole set of karbanos. He didn't require each and every Jew to bring the karbanos because he was a communal conversion. He was one geiris for the whole Klal Yisrael. Even if you have, let's say, the whole group of the Kuzarim, a whole nation will convert, so there is no halacha that's obligated with one karban geiris. Each one of the Kuzarim who wants to convert will have to bring his own karban geiris, his own oilus behemah, or his own two oilus hayif. But on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared that it's one act of geiris on the whole Klal Yisrael. We'll get back to that a little later. So the pasuk says there that Moshe Rabbeinu took the dam from the korbanos. And it says, Vayizrak al ha'om. Leikach Moshe es ha'dom, the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chav Dalet, pasuk Ches. How do you translate the words? Moshe Rabbeinu took the dam from the karbanos and he mizrak the dam on the people. That's the simple translation. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash refers you to the Targum Onkelos who does not learn Kipshuto. Targum Onkelos wrote his Targum, the Gemara says in the beginning of Megillah, based on what he heard from Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. So Mibesh and Joshua, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, they told him, Vayizra kalha means he was zorek ala mizbech lechapara alama, to be mechapar on the people, but the zrika was not on the people. The Tana, the Gemara increases, does not learn like that. The Tana understands Vayizra kalha am, the zrika saddam was literally done on the body of the Bnei Yisrael. So then the Gemara says, the Gemiri, we have a tradition, halacha moshe misinai, often the Gemiri means, we have a tradition, deleka hazoa beloy tfila. Whenever you do hazoa on the gufa adam, in order to be able to be mekabel the hazor, the person has to be tevel in the mikveh in advance. Where do we have? We have in two places, totally different dinim. You have a tummy mace who wants to become tahor. So normally when a person is tummy, he goes to the mikveh, and he becomes tohor. Sometimes you have to count shivinikim in advance, sometimes you have to count shivinikim. Fine, depends on the nature of the tumah. But how does one remove the tumah? You go to mikveh farti. And then once in a while, the going to the mikveh is not sufficient. If you have, let's say, the tomei meis, he has to first have hazor shlishi shvi, and then he has to go to mikveh. The mikveh is mitar later on, provided that he had hazor shlishi shvi. So the hazor is from eifa parah. You burn a parah, you shef the parah dumen, and you burn it. You do the whole procedure as it's described in Parshas Chukas, and then you burn, take a speck of ash. Ashes from the paraduma, then you have as big a container as possible. You take a little bit of ashes, a one piece of ash, and you throw it into this container. It's expensive stuff. A paraduma is very expensive. So they're not going to put in an ounce of ash. They're going to put one speck of ash in a big container. So all of the water in this container is hukshar to serve for hazos shlishi shvi for one who's a tomei meis. So the Mishnayos indicate, the Tosfos and Megillah points out, Ben Tam and Megillah points out these Mishnayos. Mishnayos indicate that the person who's a Tamei Meis wants to become Tor has to go to Mikveh three times. At the end of the whole procedure, he has to go to Mikveh to make himself Tor. But before Hazor Shlishi, he has to go to Mikveh to be Mekabel the Hazor. And before Hazor Shvi, he has to go to Mikveh to be Hukshar, to be Mekabel the Hazor Shvi. And then after he has the Hazor Shlishi Shvi from the Paraduma water, Shlishi Shvi, now he's eligible to go to the mikveh to become Tohar. Where does this din come from that he has to go to mikveh before Hazor Shlishi and before Hazor Shvi? Gimiri, the Lech Hazor B'Loi Tzilah, there's no Pasuk in Chumash, it's Gimiri, we have a tradition. Then a more similar case would be by the Mitzorah. By the Asham Mitzorah, normally a korban, you take the Dam and Nizarek on the Mizbech. Asham Mitzorah is an exception to the rule we just had in the Kriyas HaTor, that you do Matan Bahinus, Al Tnuch, Ozna Ha'imanis, Al Ban Yahda Ha'imanis, Al Ban Ragla Ha'imanis, it's a Yotzalid Medavah HaKharish. The Gemara beginning of Yivam is Dam Zayin calls it Yotzalid Medavah HaKharish. It's a Dabar HaSaisas HaKlal, Taisa says. Dabar HaKharish means it's an exception to the rule. The rule normally is when you have dam from karbanis, you zarek on the mizbech, you shed up the shirayim on the yisayid on mizbech. You don't put the dam on a person's body. Here by shamitzar, here in Parshas Mishpatim, the Tana increases aftes learns by yisur kalam literally, not like Targum Onkelos. They zarek the dam on the body of the Bnei Yisrael, and by the mitzar says on the chulish, that's a din l'daris that you zarek the dam on the matan bohenis and the tnuch ozna hayimanis. So the Gemara has the Mishnayos have a din that the mitzara has to go to the mikveh prior to the Matan Bahinas, because Gmiri Deleka Hazor B'Loi Tzvila. So the Gemara says, based on this Pasuk in Mishpat Ma'izik Aham, that's how we know that everybody, even the single people who, on the time of Matan Torah, who were not neither Balkari nor Poletti Shechmazera, everybody had to go to Mikveh, because Gmiri Deleka Hazor B'Loi Tzvila, this Ma'izik Aham, required that everybody had to go to Mikveh in advance. So that's how the Gemara establishes this system, that we know the Doris of Din is that a ger has to have meal and tefillah and carbon. That's all based on Maimon Hasina, because Maimon Hasina was the act of gerus on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. The Sfasem there increases, asks a very strong kasha. First of all, it's a problem, what about according to the other Tanoim, according to Rashi and his Pirush on Chumash, who tells you to look in Unkelis. But Yizuk Al-Hom is not to be taken literally, means he reserved the Dhamma on the Mizbech to be Mechapra on the people. So there was no Hazoas HaDam on the body. So where's the whole Gmiri? The Lek Hazor B'Loi Tzvila. So who says that there was any Tzvila for the single people? The Tzvila in the Mikvah was only for those who were Balkari or Paletas. Whoever was neither Balkari nor Paletas, Shechazera, who says that they went to Mikvah at all? So that's problem number one. How the other time I'm going to establish this din that you have to have Tzvila for Geris?
Maybe the Hazor is only preparation for the Korban. We don't have carbon for a gear, so we'll bring the carbon years later. I'll have the Hazor years later.
We don't have this, the Duris, we don't have this Hazor. This is only Hayrashon. And the Mishnayos, they talk about the gear bringing the carbon, Tosef, the Mishnayos.
The important thing to be learning that you need Tevila, because every Hazor requires Tevila before.
Yeah.
We don't need Hazor to this.
So that's what the Sfasemis asks. Even if you learn like the Tana increases, that the Pshat and the Pasuk is literally by Yisro Kal Ha'am, not the way the Unkula says. That was only once in the history of the world that they did Hazor on the body. But Ledoira said there's no such requirement that the Ger has to have Hazor on his body. So how do we know that we need Tefillah B'Zman HaZeh? That's a very strong kasha. That's a very strong kasha. But that's how the Gemara sets it up. The Gemara somehow learns out from these psukim that ger l'doris requires milan, tefillah, and korban. There's a Ramban that became famous in recent years. Ramban in the middle of Yevamos on Daf Mem Zayin raises a question regarding Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi were the only ones during the whole Golus Mitzrayim who preserved the mitzvah of Mila all the way through. It says right before Pesach Mitzrayim everybody had to have a bris because nobody was gemal. So the tradition has it that Shevet Levi kishamri masach bris chayin tzoru. And then in the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar also, Bnei Yisrael were concerned that the conditions were not safe. They were afraid that if they'll perform bris mila, the baby may get sick, and Shevet Levi had bitachon, they were not afraid. It was a far-fetched chashash. It's a very strange thing. You have Moshe Rabbeinu as the rabbi, and one Shevet Levi, they're performing bris mila on all of their children, and the other Shvatan are not performing bris mila. They say it's a sakana. So how are they allowed to do the bris mila? And what does the rabbi say? He says, you're right, and you're right, and you're also right. So who's right over here? Moshe Rabbeinu, not Stam, a modern rabbi. He's afraid he's going to fire him. They fired him, and they fired Moshe Rabbeinu, and he still had his job, even after they fired him. So how does he let everybody do what they want? So the answer is, that's Allah. But Allah is whenever there's a far-fetched tafik sakana. So it's not up to the rabbi to decide. It's up to the person to decide. If it's a real 50-50 sakana, so then the guy's going to jump off of the Empire State Building, and he says, look, man, no hands, and he's not afraid. That's a sufik sakana. A vaday sakana, that's for sure. If it's 50-50, that's a sufik sakana. But if it's way less than 50-50, the winds were blowing in the mid, but whatever, it was a far-fetched sufik sakana. So that, the halacha says it depends on each and every individual person. If he's nervous about the sakana, then it's called the sufik sakana. If he's not nervous about the sakana, then it's not called the sufik sakana. So Shevet Levi had more bitachon. So they were not nervous. So the din requires, so for them it's not called the suffix sakana. So the din requires on their part they should perform the bris mila. Moshe Rabbeinu said, good, let them do the bris mila. The other shvatim were nervous. If the others are nervous, so then I'll feed din. It's called the suffix sakana.
When was this?
The 40 years of the Midbar. So the Chazal have a tradition that in Mitzrayim also, Shevet Levi always observed bris mila, and the rest of Bnei Yisrael didn't. That's why right before Korban Pesach, everybody had to perform bris mila. But Shevet Levi was always performing all along. So the Ramban raises the question, if the mila Mitzrayim was necessary, not only for enabling them to eat the Korban Pesach, but it was needed in order to begin the process of Geirus, its beginning now and completing in Har Sinai. So what's with the Shevet Levi? So they remain goyim. They never had a mila l'shem geirus. They had a mila l'shem mitzvah. They never had a mila l'shem geirus. So the Ramban says that's okay. If the mila was done l'shem mitzvah, so that there's no need for hatofas dumbris. So this is a shaila that comes up in our generation very often. You have a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, and then they have a baby. The baby's not Jewish. We assume that there are different opinions in the days of the Tanoim, but the pesach has already been determined 2,000 years ago that the status of the child depends on the mother. So if the mother's not Jewish, so the child is not Jewish. So they call a moel, and the moel does a bris. It doesn't even occur to him that the mother is not Jewish. He should ask. It doesn't occur to him. So he say, makes a regular bris, and he says the bracha ala mila. It doesn't say lama lefager. It says a regular bracha. And they do a regular bris mila. So then later on, the kid goes to NCS, whatever, he finds out that he's not Jewish. So then the shayla is, and he wants to be Jewish, so does he have to have, the kid has to have a tefillah and a mikveh. Okay? Does he have to have a hatosas dam bris? So most of the, Rav Soloveitchik and most of the poskim say that there's no need for hatosas dam bris, and it's all based on this Ramban, that the Ramban in Yevamos is right, on Daf Mem Zayin. That since the Shevet Levi did the Mila, the Shem Mitzvah, so there's no need to do it over again, the Shem gave us.
Maybe when the whole Chayisah was doing Mila, they did have Tophus Dambris?
Right. You could argue that point, but the Ramban assumes not so. Right. There is a minority opinion who disagree, and they say, correct, the Ramban is right, but it doesn't apply to our case, because in the Ramban's case, they were obligated to do the Mila, the Shem Mitzvah's Mila. So the mila was correctly done l'shem mila. So mila done l'shem mitzvah's mila can substitute for a mila l'shem geirus. But as man is there, if the mother's not Jewish, the baby's not Jewish, there is no mitzvah's mila. So the whole thing is a hoax. So it doesn't help that the moel is up that bracha and he has a mind l'shem and mitzvah's mila, since there is no mitzvah's mila. So maybe that doesn't count and you'll have to do atav zambris. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. Most of the poskim assume, like Rav Soloveitchik said, most of the poskim assume that that you don't have to repeat. You have to do over the Hatovah Zambris.
What does the Mayel know when he's doing about the baby?
He thought he's a Jewish baby. He's doing a performing.
The
Moel should ask. The Moel should ask.
And the Moel knew. And he had in mind. He told the, I was a witness of him. He told us this is the Mila's gear.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the kid will follow through 13 years later, and it will be a real gear.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kavana of this month.
Yeah. That's not really right. In Germany, in between the First and Second World War in Europe, there was a lot of intermarriage. First World War, the whole Jewish community fell apart. So there was a lot of intermarriage, a whole Harisas Hadas going on there. So the Rabbanim made a takana, so to speak, that a moel should not be mal a baby from a mixed marriage if the mother's not Jewish, because the child will grow up, see that he has a bris milah, think that he's Jewish. The parents may never tell him that he's not yet Jewish, he has to perform tefillah later on. Obviously the parents are not, the father's not observant, the father's not religious, reformed, conservative, whatever, then they had reform. So he may mislead his son into believing that he's Jewish. He made a takana that you're not allowed to do a bris even without a brach. Shouldn't do a bris on such a baby from a mixed marriage. Normally the Gemara has a rule that a gershon is guy kukot and shenel adami. When a non-Jew converts, he's no longer related to any of his previous relatives. Let's say he's no longer related to his father, no longer related to his brother, his sister. The Gemara says this in different areas. The Gemara says it with respect to Yerusha, that the ger doesn't yarshin the father. A goy yarshins his father, but once the ger is in his guy, he's kukot and shenel adami, minatara, he doesn't yarshin the father. But the Rabbana, the Gemara says, they made a takana that a ger yarshisav gzeira, if you'll tell him that he doesn't yarshin, so he may decide to convert back to his original religion in order to get the Yerusha, in order to get the money. So they made a takana with the Rabbana that he does get the Yerusha. But on the level of the rice, it's not related to the father. The Gemara says in Yavam, it's about Suleyedis. Let's say two brothers are Megayer, so we say Gershon is a car, Kashan Aldam, they're not considered brothers, they're Kashalahai. They can testify, they can sign a Ksubit together for someone else's wedding, that they're not considered brothers, and there isn't even a Takana de Rabban over there, because what are you concerned about? Edis is always Edis Masur LeBezin. Bezin will know that Kashan Aldam. Then Gemara has a third area with respect, let's say a brother and a sister convert. So the Gemara says, Min HaTorah, the brother can marry his sister. They're biologically brother and sister, but since Kukat and Shanel Adami, so they're not related anymore. And it's Midir Rabbanah, we don't permit them to marry for various reasons. Why they instituted the Din Rabbanah. So the Chasam Soif and his Chidushim HaMasechus Avodah Zarah raises the question, where in the world did the rabbis get this idea from? Don't you have to have a pasuk to come up with such a whopper of a din? Gershon is got Kukat and Shanel Adami, that even though he's biologically related to his brother and his sister and his father and his mother, everything is broken. Where is there a Malkan Chumash? He says he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He says, I'll say a Pasik. Okay, so he says he doesn't know. So the Meshech Chachma, the Arsamech has a Sefer Chumash called Meshech Chachma. So he writes, he knows what the answer is. He knows what the Malkan is. The Pasik says, before Ma'amin Hasina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Tikshu Alisha, Shloshes Yamim. They weren't permitted to be with their wives for 3 days. Because of the issue of paleta shechlazer, everyone had to go to the mikveh. The married people, the balkeri, but the paletas. And then after Maimon HaSinai, the Rabbi Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people, shuva lachem li'aleichem. We're up to that Gemara in Beitzah. Gemara is going to discuss that pasuk. Shuva lachem li'aleichem. Eino halo el ishta, that they're permitted to go back with their wives. So the Meshech Chachma raises the question: everyone is allowed to go back to his wife? But now that the Torah was given and they're obligated to observe all the laws of the Torah, the list of Gilead Arayis that we have is much broader, much longer than the list of Arayis, prohibited marriages, prohibited relatives for the non-Jews. And there must have been many couples, a certain percentage of couples who were married to relatives, that according to the rules and regulations of Bnei Noach, it's permissible, and according to the laws of the Torah, it's forbidden. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu tell everybody, everyone can go back to their wives after Matan Torah, they're now Jewish, so some of them have to separate from their wives. They should have to, marry your aunt, yeah. So the Meshech Chachma says, it must be this pasuk is the mark of the din, Gershon is got to cut and shenel adomi, that he's no longer related to his aunt, so, and the Gzeret Rabbanah wasn't instituted yet, so that's why everybody is allowed to go back to their wives, even those who were married to prohibited, to relatives who are forbidden according to the laws of the Torah, the relatives are not relatives anymore. That's what the Meshech Chachma writes. And it's Sefer Chumash. I remember one occasion I met with Rabbi Breuer, so he asked me, did you see a new Sefer came out recently, the Meshech Chachma? He must have been ancient when the Sefer came out. It came out before I was born. So he said, "Do you ever hear of this Sefer?" I said, "Yeah, no." So he says, he has this, and he tells me over this whole Meshech Chochma, and he says, "Shara Le Mori, God should forgive the Meshech Chochma for saying such a thing." He's not allowed to say that. He says, if you apply Gershon is God, Shinola Dhamma to Maimon HaSinai, so we're not related to Avram Yitzchak Yankis anymore. So what are we davening? Elokeinu Elokei Avosenu Elokei Avraham Avinu. We're not related to the Avos HaKadoshim. Cholila, you're not allowed to say such a thing. The Torah keeps on saying, you have to matan Torah. Abaseichem. The Avos are Abaseichem. It's very famous that the Maharal Miprag says, Gershon is God, Shinola Dhamma applies to every other Ger except for Maimon HaSinai. It didn't apply on that occasion. Not everybody reads the Maharal Miprag Svarim, but this one is quoted by the Sher Shmaitzer in his introduction. Sher Shmaitzer has Agadata in the beginning of the Sefer. He has a long essay as a Hakdama, so he quotes this Maharal Miprag. So different explanations are given why. Why in the world should that be so? Gershon is God, but Shinola Dhamma applies to everybody else except for Maimon HaSinai. And what is the Mokar? The Chasam Sofer says, what is the Mokar on Chumash? Gershon is God, but Shinola Dhamma. So Rav Soloveitchik had a very fascinating suggestion to answer both questions. What is the Mokar Chumash? And why does Katan Shinola Dhamma Punkt not apply to Maimon HaSinai? If all the laws of Geras are patterned after Kachem Ka'avasechem, all the laws of Geras are patterned after Maimon HaSinai, so why was there a difference over here? So the Rav said that the Gemara, the Emi Kiddushin, has two psukim to teach us that Ein Kiddushin Tofsim Bin Nochris. If a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, it does not cease his Kiddushin. And the reverse also, if a non-Jewish man is going to marry a Jewish girl and give her a ring and say, Hariyat the Goy, will say to the Jewish woman, Hariyat Mekudeshes Li, so it does not cease his Kiddushin in either situation, whether the husband is the non-Jew or the wife is the non-Jew. So bottom line, what he learned from those psukim. So the Rav pointed out, there's a Gemara in Gittin, Taisa shows in the Gemara, that the Gemara says that the din over here is not really, it's not only a din of Tvisis Kiddushin. It's a din that you can't have any yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. There's no kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. The reason why there's no Tvisis Kiddushin is because a husband and a wife are related. You can't have a kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So in the Mela, if you have a brother and a sister, or two brothers who converted. So, Yefshe L'tzamtzen, one of them jumped into the mikveh before the other one. So A was Mizgaya before B. So the minute, the first one was a Ger, so he's Jewish, and the brother is a non-Jew. So at that moment, they're no longer related. You can't have any yachas of kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. Then when the second one converts, you're going to say, oh, now they're both Jewish, now they can become brothers again. You can't become brothers at the age of 25. Either you're brothers from Leda, or you're not brothers at all. So the Rav thought that's the basis of the din of Gershon is Gar Kukut and Shinola Dhamma. Because one has to be Mizgayer before the other one, and at the moment that the first one is Mizgayer, so there's no Yachas. Based on the din, there's no Tzvishis Kiddushin. Taisus shows in Gittin from a Gemara there that these two dinim are totally zeh bezeh. The reason why there's no Tzvishis Kiddushin is because there's no Yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. We didn't require that each and every person, all the Shishim Reba, all the 600,000 Jews with the Gerim, Hanilvim, Aleim, all of the Erev Rab, we didn't require each one of them should bring a Korban HaGeris. There was one national Geris for everybody, so there was one, everybody had to go to Mikveh themselves. But there was one Korban for everybody. So since there was one Geris for all of them, so you can't say, Kukut and Shinola Dhamma. What do you mean? He was Nizgayer before me, so therefore at the moment he was Nizgayer, he was Jewish and I was still a Goy, and therefore we're not related. No, everybody was one, it was one Geris that was called Bala Tzachas.
Whether
you can approximate something happening at the same time or not. Mm-hmm. So
there's a possibility then that you have two brothers that women at the same time,
because
those two would still be in fact related.
Yes, that's a good question. Rav Soloveitchik didn't discuss it. That's a good question.
Mar
has a
machlokes
whether
Epshe L'Tzamtzem, Epshe L'Tzamtzem.
Right.
Mar Ha'olim Prag, that's the,
he has no
earlier
mokum
for that.
No, Mar is the first one in writing who writes, is quoted. He says that Kikot and Shonel Adami did not apply at Ha'asin. He gives a different reason why. He gives a different explanation. But this is what Rav Soloveitchik said. That's what Rav Soloveitchik also explained. There's a Gemara in the end of Yevamos, Tzadik Zayin or so, Tzadik Ches, where the Gemara says if a non-Jewish woman is pregnant with twin boys, and she's Mizgayer, so they're all related to each other. The mother with the two sons, you don't say Kukut and Shinola Dhamma. So the Achronim asked, what happened to the principle of Kukut and Shinola Dhamma? So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, his mamish one Geirus. It's one Geirus. The woman is pregnant, even if you hold Uber Lav Yerachimai, that's how all the Achronim say. Even if you have one, the Gemara says in Yevamos, when a pregnant, a non-Jewish woman is pregnant and she's tovel in a mikvah, b'shem geiris, so do you have a separate tefillah for the mother, a separate tefillah for the baby? Or do you say it's one tefillah for both? The Gemara says this depends whether it will be Yerachim or Ubalav Yerachimai. So the Achrayim all have this idea, each one independently of the other, they all came to this conclusion. Even if one thinks the Ubalav Yerachimai, it's two bodies, but it's one person. Bottom line, it's one person with two bodies. So if it's one person, so it's one Geirus, so you can't say Kotan Shanal Dami, the mother vis-a-vis her two children. It was one Geirus on all three, like on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. It was one national Geirus on everybody all together. So when you have an Ishamu Beris with Shnei Achim Taimim, so it's also considered one Geirus on all three. Even if one should assume Ubalav Yerachimai, but it's one person. Yosef Engel has a whole fantastic, a different explanation why Kikot and Shanol Adami didn't apply Maimon HaSinai. He always has original. Fascinating topic. Why do we assume, not like the Meshech Chochma, Hashem should forgive him? Shorele Mari, that's the lesson that Rabbi Breuer said. Shorele Mari. We don't assume like that. We assume like the Maharami Prag that Kikot and Shanol Adami did not apply at the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. There is an interesting machlokes that Rashi quotes at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. When were these korbanos brought? El Moshama Ali Al Hashem, and you have to bring the korbanos. So when these are the korbanos of Geir. So were these korbanos brought before Maimon HaSinai? Maimon HaSinai is in Yisrael, and here the Gemara has a tradition. These korbanos were korbanos HaGeir in connection with the Geir. So were these korbanos prior to Maimon HaSinai or following Maimon HaSinai? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash says it's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mechilta. So Rashi thinks one opinion and the Ramban has adopted the other. They're both strange. Rashi and Ramban are taking sides on a machlokes hatanoim. So a little strange. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out it's a fundamental machlokes. Was Maimon HaSinai for Jews or for non-Jews? So according to one opinion in Tanoim, the Maimon HaSinai was for non-Jews. They were preparing to convert. So what was the Anochi Hashem Elokecha? What was the whole Aseres Adibris all about? So the Ramban says the Aseres Adibris was simply a sampling of the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Gemara has a din, the Ger has to have Kabbalas on Mitzvahs. He has to promise that he's going to observe Mitzvahs. He has to tell him the Mitzvahs. So, and the Gemara says it's not a strict din, but that's the practice, the Gemara says. When the Ger is in the mikvah, up to his neck in the water, so you have again a Kabbalas on Mitzvahs. So yes, the Ger, do you reject the Trinity? Do you believe in one God? Do you believe in Torah and Hashemayim? Do you believe in Schar V'Yonish? And so on. Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpocha. You don't stand there for 5 hours and he'll catch pneumonia. You don't stand 5 hours in the mikveh and start listing off Shiloh HaKan and Makeh. You don't list all the 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara says, Modimo, so mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, or mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamuris, a sampling. So the Ramban says, that's what Aseres HaDibros is. There's mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalos, a mitzvah, mitzvah, chamuris. Everyone's still looking for the Aseres HaDibros, which are the kalos? Which are the easy ones? Lo sachma, that's the hardest of all. Which are the kibbut aviyim? No one observes. That's from the chamuris. So which are the kalos? We're not sure exactly. But that's the Ramban has a losh. Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes Rabbeinu Sadigoin, surprising. Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Sadigoin, who says that the Aseres HaDibros are really 10 categories, and all of the 613 mitzvahs can fall under these categories. They can be subsumed under these headings. And there were piyutim that they would recite piyutim in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah and Shavuos when they lay in the Aseres HaDibros. So that some of the Rishonim composed piyutim where they would rattle off all of the mitzvahs that fall under Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Then the Baal Kor would read the next pasuk, then rattle off all of the mitzvahs that fall under that Le'ilach HaLeimachem HaFana, and so on and so forth. They would divide up all the, like Rav Sadigoin. So this is really a fundamental, these two ideas represent two different shitas. What is Aseres HaDibros all about? So if one assumes that the Aseres HaDibros, the Maimon HaSinai was to non-Jews, Maimon HaSinai was for the non-Jews, this was the Kabbalas on Mitzvahs in order that they should be Megayer later. So the Korbanos HaGeir were brought after Maimon HaSinai. Maimon HaSinai was to Goyim. But according to the other opinion, no. The whole Geirus was completed before Maimon HaSinai. So what's Aseres HaDibros? That's Liman HaTorah. So that's not Modim Osa Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalah. They already were Mekabel Mitzvahs. They already had the Geirus before. They already had the Milan Mitzrayim. They already had the Tefillah. They already brought the Korbanos. They're 100% Geir Gomer. So what was the Maimon HaSinai? That was Liman HaTorah. So So Liban HaTorah said, the Rebbeinu Shlom had to give them the whole Torah. Why do they only give Aseret HaDibur? So that's Rashi quotes Rabbeinu Sadi going, yeah, these are the 10 headings or the 10 categories. And then he was going to give the rest. First you give the outline and then you fill in all the missing information. So this represents really two different shitas to how to understand whether the Geiris precede, whether the Karbanos HaGeir were brought before Maimon HaSeir or after, sheds light on the whole nature of what the Aseret HaDibur is all about. Are these the headings of the various categories of mitzvahs? And the Ikar of the Maimon HaSinai was Liman HaTorah, the beginning of Talmud Torah. Or should we assume, no, that it was part of the Geiris process, the Modimos and mitzvahs Kalois, or mitzvahs Chamures? What happened at Har Sinai? So the Gemara has an expression, Mujba v'yomim at Har Sinai. But then you saw took a shvur at Har Sinai. We all took, the Klal Yisrael took a shvur that they're going to observe all of the Rabbanu Shlom's mitzvahs. It's interesting, just parenthetically, the Gemara has an expression, Kol hanor de kilu bon aboma. One who takes a ned, that's the Gemara in the Dorim, the Gemara in other Masechtos also, in Eredin. Kol hanor de, whoever takes a ned there, kilu bon aboma, b'shasis aboma. So it's not right. Kol ha-mekayim, if the person retains his net, he should go to a chacham, to a bezin, to be matar net. If you don't go to be matar, kilu hikriv korbanos al abama. He did a bigger aver. You're not supposed to take any in the door. So the Marsha has an interesting comment, and not everybody agrees with his opening comment. He says, you never find in Gemara such a statement, kol ha-nishba, kilu bain abama, just kol ha-neidem. The Gemara has something against accepting a net, and the Gemara never has anything except against accepting a shvur. We today all have the practice, an Orthodox Jew never swears. So if you have to go to court and they want you to swear, so not only do we say I'm not going to swear on the Gospels, we're not going to swear even on the Jewish Bible. Why? Because an Orthodox Jew doesn't swear even if it's true. So where does that come from? So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he discusses, where did this come from? So he quotes Midrashim. There are Midrashim like that. But this Marsha, Machtavek the Ganze Meise, he says there is no such...
Based in, you don't make a shvur on it.
Yeah, you do. But even in the Bezin now, the practice is if a person is in a situation where the din is, if he swears, he's putter, so they won't allow him to swear, and they'll force upon him a pshara, that he should divide the amount of money. If he swears, he's putter off the hook, he doesn't pay anything, so they'll force a pshara because they won't want to administer a shvur.
You're just so careful to avoid it.
Yeah, we avoid a shvur. Because a shvur is an isachomer. So the Chacham Sofer discusses that practice. That's a very old practice. So the Mashiach doesn't hold from this. The Mashiach says the Gemara only has something against Kol HaNoidim. One is not supposed to take a net. He claims the Gemara never says a word about not taking a shvur. There's nothing wrong with accepting a shvur upon oneself. So he says, why not? He says, because the whole Kabbalah Satar is like the shvur. The Gemara says, well, Mujba V'yamim Har Sinai. So Rabbi Shalom wanted us to take a shvur, and he wants us always to take shvur. So he thinks that there's nothing wrong with taking a shvur. So Lamaisa, we took a shvur at Har Sinai, we took all the shvurs, Mujba V'yam Har Sinai, and we're obligated to observe all of the mitzvahs HaTorah. So people make a mistake, they think that the obligation to observe the mitzvahs HaTorah is because, well, it sounds like it says like that, Mujba V'yam Har Sinai, because of the shvur we took at Har Sinai. So the Gemara says in Shavuos that that's not true. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes at the end of Kisava, the second Teichacha, the first Teichacha appears in this week's Sedra, and Mechukai said then the second Teichacha appears in Kisava, and then in the beginning of Nitzavim, so the pasuk says Lo itchem levatchem menochi kareisus adbris azos v'sa'ol azos kiyas ashe yeshnam po v'yese ashe anen po imanu amen hayoyim. That the second, so Rashi quotes in the Gemara Shavuos, the second Teichacha, the Gemara understands that's what the Pesukim say. At the end of the Teichachim B'chukais, it says, Eile Divrei Abris HaShakras Hashem Bnei Yisrael B'Har Sinai. Then at the end of the Teichachim Kisav, it says, Eile Divrei Abris HaShakras Hashem Bnei Yisrael B'Arvis Mayav, L'Var Abris HaShakaris Itam B'Har Chareis. There were two different brisim. There was a bris at Har Sinai, and the text of the Teichachim that appears in B'chukais was recited at Har Sinai. That was part of the Shavuah. We took a shvua, and the Rabbanu Shalom, before we took the shvua, he said, these are the regulations. You're going to violate the mitzvah of Torah. You're going to be punished. You're going to be chased out of Eretz Yisrael for a violation of Shemitah. This was all recited at Har Sinai. And then the second teichacha that appears in Kisavai is Eilu Divrei Bris. That was the text of the Krisis Bris, that the warning that was given to Bnei Yisrael when they made the Bris in Arvis Moyav, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah all over again. So why was there a need for another Krisis Bris? They already made a Bris in Har Sinai. So that's what Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. He quotes in the Gemara Shavuos, the second Krisis Bris is binding on the Doras Abayim. Eis Asher Yeshna Po, Eis Asher Enenim Po, Iman Arim El Hayyad. The first Bris at Har Sinai was not binding on the Doras Abayim. It was only binding on the people who were there at that generation. The Yechidim took a Shavuah. And the second Shavuah, the second Bris in Arvis Moyav, that was binding on all the Doras Abayim. So today, we're not really, strictly speaking, not really obligated to observe the mitzvahs as the Gemara seems to say, because Mujba V'yam Har Sinai, it's not really true. We're Mujba V'yam in May Arvis Moyav. It's a little bit inaccurate. Our obligation to observe the mitzvahs of Torah is based on the Arvis Moyav. That's what the Gemara says. That's what Rashi and Chumash quotes in the beginning of Parshas Nitzav. It's interesting. The Orthodox keep on speaking about Torah Mi-Sinai. Torah Mi-Sinai. We believe in Torah Min-Hashamayim when we add on Torah Mi-Sinai. What do you mean Torah Mi-Sinai? So it doesn't really mean that the Torah is binding because of the Maimon Ha-Sinai. Torah is binding on all of our generations on because of the Bris of Arvis Moyav, not because of the Maimon Ha-Sinai. Why not? That's a question. Why not? But why is this? We never took the Shavuot at Har Sinai, so that's why it's not binding on us. But no, we never took the Shavuot at Arvis Moyav either. So why is that? Why is that the bridge binding on us? So Rav Soloveitchik gave a hezer that the Gemara says there in the middle of the Sanhedrin around Mem Dalet or so. The Gemara says that when Yeshua ben Nun took Bnei Yisrael over the Yarden, so they had to Moshe Rabbeinu died. So Yeshua ben Nun led Bnei Yisrael on Eretz Yisrael. So how did it say the brachas klalus that hagrizim and harevel? So the Gemara says that that was the third bris. There were three bris: the bris at Har Sinai, the bris at Arvis Moyav before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, and the third bris at brachas klalus at hagrizim and harevel. So what was that all about? He just said the first bris was only binding on that generation. The second bris is binding on all the future generations. So what do you need a third bris for? Out of space. What do you need a third bris for? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, no, the first bris, there was no Klal Yisrael, because before the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, we were all Yechidim. The mitzaref of Klal Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. A nation has to have a national homeland. So before we entered Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu made a kinyan. He walked around the borders. So the Gemara understands that that was a kinyan. So Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, but we can't consider our national homeland if we didn't move into Eretz Yisrael. So there was no tziruf of the Ummah HaYisraelis until they crossed over the Yarden. So that's why there was a need for a second bris after they crossed over the Yarden, that second bris should be binding on all the Doras Abayim. If the tzibur, if the nation takes a shvua, so it's binding even on the future generation. There was no nation on the occasion of Har Sinai. So the nation only emerged after they entered Eretz Yisrael. You have other dinim like that. You have, for example, the dinim, you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael.
What do you mean?
We'll get to that in a second. So just to demonstrate this, that the tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Bechoris on Daf Chof Tes, if you have an Avnei Nezer, so this is the first tshuva and the second Chelek Arachai, where he talks about these Rambams. That the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Chorus on Daf Chav Tes, the smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Why? What's an agricultural mitzvah? This mitzvah satli is bar, it's only apply in Eretz Yisrael. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. It has nothing to do. The farmers get smicha. The rabbanim get smicha. What does it have to do with Avodas HaKarka in Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam explains that smicha is not a private affair, that a Rebbe confers smicha to his Talmud. The Rebbe is representing Klal Yisrael when he gives smicha to the Talmud. So that's why the Rebbe can only represent Klal Yisrael if he's in Eretz Yisrael. And he puts together with this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam says that Kiddush HaChodesh in Ibra Hashanah has to be done only in Eretz Yisrael, for that reason, because Kiddush HaChodesh in Ibra Hashanah is not done by the Bez Nagodol, the Torah's Bez Nagodol. It's done by the Bez Nagodol representing Klal Yisrael, and the Jews who live in Chutz Lo'etz are all considered Yechidim. Only those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered the Klal Yisrael. That's where the Rambam has a famous line. He says, and if there would be no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, there would only be Jews living, millions and millions of Jews living in Chutz Lo'etz, no Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, Cholila, that's what it says in the Rambam, Chas V'Shalom, We assume that's a translation from the Arabic also. So the Rambam says that means that God didn't keep his promise. God promised not only that there would be survivors, that Klal Yisrael would survive. Klal Yisrael means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And you have other dinim also. Egla Ruf only applies in Eretz Yisrael, and it's also based on the same principle, because the tziruf of Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the first bris that was made at Hashem was only a bris on Yechidim. They had to have another bris, that should be a bris with the Tzibur, with the Klal Yisrael, that only emerged after they crossed over the Yam. But the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one to be Mesada the bris. But you can't. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. And the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael didn't exist in Chutzlort. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you begin the bris, and you tell me Yeshua ben Nun will complete the bris. So the second and the third are really hyphenated. It's one big bris. The second bris was made in Arvis Moya, Moshe Rabbeinu made it. It wasn't clinched, it wasn't completed until Yeshua ben Nun made the bris in at Hagrizim and Harevo. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested.
But I thought that Arvis Moya ultimately is where Reuven and Gretel, is that ultimately Eretz Yisrael, this part where Moshe Rabbeinu does go?
It didn't yet have the status of Eretz Yisrael until after the Kodesh Eretz Yisrael. Then it got the status.
Then that happened.
Yeah. The Gemara says Ari Mikla, the three Ari Mikla that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside didn't begin to be collated until they set aside the others. Why? So you could say that you need all six. So Rabbi Shua Lekutner writes in his Sefer, it's not because you need all six Likud. He says because Ari Mikla only exists in Eretz Yisrael. And Eva Yarden didn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael until they were Kovish Eretz Yisrael. So after they got Eretz Yisrael, so then this is Aratzus HaNosofas. So it can be added on after you have something in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have Eretz Yisrael yet, so nothing gets off the ground. So the truth of the matter is that our obligation to observe the mitzvahs today is not so much because of the mushba v'yayme mehaisinai, like the Lashon HaGemara. It's really the mushba v'yayme mehagrizim and harevol, or from the Arvis Moya, the beginning of the bris was in Arvis Moya with Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it was completed by Yeshua ben Nun. And also the text of the Chumash, what do we mean when we say that Torah Mesina? We mean that the text of the Chumash was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter, Harsinai. So it's also not 100% accurate. As the Chazon Ish points out, Chazon Ish has his sefer on Or HaChaim, the way it's printed, goes in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, of Or HaChaim. So after Hilchas Pesach, then you have the Dinim of Shavuos. So the Chazon Ish has where Hilchas Shavuos ought to be. So he has an essay about Seder Nesinas HaTorah. How did the Rebbeinu Shlom give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu? So he quotes Pesukim and Chumash that are very startling. People never realize that's what it says in the Chumash. Then he quotes Ramban, then he quotes Gemaras, and he tries to figure out how did the Rebbeinu Shlom give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. So he points out, the Chazon Ish points out, that there's a famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Behar, Mayin Shmita Etzel Har Sinai, Loi Malach, that all of the mitzvahs were given to Har Sinai with all of the details from A to Z. So the Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga has a machlokes satanayim. What Rashi writes is the generally accepted opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And the other Tanoim disagree. So the Chazon Ish explains the background for the machlokes satanayim. That you have psukim and the chumash that are introduced with different expressions. Sometimes you have a pasuk, very often you have a pasuk with the introduction, with Abba Shama Moshe Behar Sinai Lemar. So this was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, word for word and letter for letter. Then sometimes you have a Dama Shama Moshe Me'oel Moed Lemar, in the middle of the 40 years in the middle, but then have Dabba Shama Moshe and the Aris Moyav Lema. That text was given later. So obviously the Torah is a composite of three different texts. All three texts dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was that all about? Why is the Torah composite of three different texts? So half of the Tanaim and Chagiga, the first part, half of the Tanaim say, the first text, when the Rebbeinu Shlom gave it, sometimes was incomplete. The Rebbeinu Shlom sometimes only gave the outline, it didn't give all the details. So sometimes the second text was more complete. Sometimes the second text in Oyel Moed was still incomplete. So the Rebbeinu Shlom had to give it a third time in Arvis Moed. So those mitzvahs that were given from A to Z at Har Sinai, so there's no need for text B and text C. So the first text was the final version. So that will appear in Chumash, Zabba Shalma Moshe, Har Sinai Lema. The full text was given the first time. Sometimes The first text was missing a lot of details, so the Baruch Hashem had to give it a second time in all might. So then that'll be the final version. So that'll be the one that'll appear on Chumash. In some mitzvahs, they were incomplete even the second time, so the Baruch Hashem had to give it a third time in its completeness, so that'll say, V'dav Hashem HaMoshe, Mi'arvis Mo'ev Lema. So Rashi and Chumash in the beginning of Parashas Bar says that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is the Torah was given three different times, three different versions, but each time it has from A to Z. Had all the dinim. Not that the version B was more complete, the version C was more complete than version B. No. Version A, B, and C, all three versions were totally complete. So why did Rav Hashanah give the Torah with three different versions? We don't know. Chazanim says we don't know. But that's the accepted opinion, Rabbi Akiva says. And why did Rav Hashanah decide sometimes the Chumash is a composite, sometimes text A, sometimes text B, sometimes text C? Why? If text A and B were also totally complete, they had everything there. So why did Rabbi Shlom change it, and why did he sometimes choose text B and text C? We don't know. It's a deep dark secret. So that's a good question. But we cannot say that the Torah that we have, the text of the Chumash that we have, was all dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. It's not true. The Chumash itself says that the Chumash is a composite of three different texts. That's where all the apikursis comes from. If you say a Dvar Sheker that has no Miktas Emes, that has no Kiyum. So here there's a mixed sentence that says in the Chumash that the Chumash is a composite of three different texts. So that's where the Epicurean developed their whole theory. Yeah, the Torah is a whole composite of different texts written by different people, not all by the Rabbi Shlom. That's what Rashi writes in Parsha Shlach, he quotes the Gemara. If you just say the Meraglim had to start off with mixed sentence, if they would say Sheker from the beginning to the end, so no one would accept anything that they said. So they started off with mixed sentence.
So you're talking about here, the prophets were given in Hashemite, but were they written down? Isn't that two different things? What was given from the prophet to Moshe, what was written down? So it was written down. When it says Bible, small off, that's when it was written down.
That's another discussion, the Gemara in Gittin, the Perakan Hazakin, the Rabbanu Shel Olam only dictate the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the 40 years, or did he dictate all along? So according to one opinion in Gemara, was the Torah Megillah and Nitna, Torah Chasum and Nitna? Torah wasn't dictated till the very end. So if one should assume Torah Megillah and Nitna, every time Moshe Rabbeinu had a prophecy about a din, so Rabbi Shalom told him, write it down. So if you wrote it, so we had the text A and we had text B. So what was the need for text A and text B? If A, B, and C.
The Pratas have seen on Rabbi Akiva, all the Pratas.
You can figure out all the Pratim from text A, B, or C. So why were there three different texts if they all say the same thing? Torah Shabbat Pez had to read in between the lines to figure out more details.
That's much more detail.
Okay.
So what do we mean when we say all the details were given? All the details including the Torah Shabbat Pez?
No, there was a text with extra words, kol and hey hayidiyah, and switching from yochid to rabbim.
It's not the whole Torah Shabbat
Pez. Yeah, we're still developing Torah Shabbat Pez Ara Yam Hazeh. The whole Torah Shabbat Pez has not yet been revealed.
The Moshe, including what we're developing now.
Yeah, that's another question. What does it mean? Literally, it was all given to Moshe Rabbeinu every single dinner. It just means that the klolim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and how to develop dinim. But then the actual development of the dinim came in the later generations. The pastor says that not all the dinim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara had quotes the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a video of Rabbi Akiva giving a shir. Wow, and he couldn't follow. So the pastor says that he was not aware of all the details. It means he was given all the klolim.
What does Rashi mean in the beginning of this?
No, it means Moshe Rabbeinu was given text A, contained all the yukim that you could be medayik a whole Torah Shabbat based on that text. You would have come to the same piskei Shulchan Aruch that you would have based on text A, B, or C. Everything would turn out the same anyway.
And you shouldn't think that it's only for Shemitah, it's for everything.
Right. Right.
So according to the tradition that says that there's actually three separate texts, they were four complete texts, or were they bits and pieces of texts? Meaning, in other words, I assume the first one could have said by Arvas Moav because they weren't Arvas Moav. But in other words, those things were added because that was the third text that were given.
Each text is labeled. Is this A, B, or C? So this is labeling it as A.
This was from this
A.
Text A that went through text B and text C.
Okay.
Most of them just the version of Moshe Lamor with no... Wait a minute.
Doesn't say when? Okay, so we don't know. So when we speak about Torah Misinai, what are we emphasizing over here? So we're not really emphasizing Mujbu V'yamim HaSinai, that the Shavuos at HaSinai Mechayiv us today. It's not true. The Shavuos at Arvis Mayav and on the occasion of the Brachas HaKlal HaGriz Ma'arevo. That's why the Doras HaBoyim HaMchayiv. When we speak about Torah Misinai, we don't mean the whole text of the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai. That's true. But the text that we use is a composite. We don't have the whole text there. We have one-third text A, one-third text B, one-third text C. So what do we mean when we speak about the significance of Torah Misinai? We speak about Torah Min HaShemayim, that's one thing, but we speak about Torah Misinai also. So what we mean is that Limud HaTorah is supposed to be paralleled after Maimon HaSinai. That's how the Gemara says, V'haydaitam, the Pashub Shatan, that Pasuk that we started with. V'haydaitam levanecho v'levnei vanecho, we started with the Pasuk in Parshas V'eschanan. So the simple translation is, we should tell over, laying Kriyas HaTorah, tell your children and your grandchildren about the story of Maimon HaSinai. Kriyas HaTorah deraisim, like Hakel. So this is a Parsha Zohar once a year, so Parshas Maimon HaSinai, once a year, every year you have to lay. So the Gemara has in Brachas an additional level of interpretation. We should teach over the Torah to our children just like Yom HaShem Arata, just like on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. Everybody went to Mikveh, that it shouldn't be a Balkarian, the woman shouldn't be a Palat Shechla Zerah. And why? Because Torah had to be Kabbalah, so Torah had to be Be'im, Be'ira, Be'reses, Be'ziyah. They weren't sitting and eating popcorn at the time of HaSinai. They weren't watching video games in the middle of Maimon HaSinai. They were all paying attention with big Yir HaShemayim, Be'im, Be'ir, Be'es, and Be'ziyah. So to the Doris, when we transmit the Torah to the next generation, it should be given over Be'im, Be'ir, Be'es, and Be'ziyah. And the Gemara has, the Yerushalmi and Megillah has more dinim. That the Gemara has that the Torah Shebichsav should be transmitted Bichsav, and the Torah Shebalpeh should be transmitted Balpeh. That the Rebbe who's teaching Torah Shabbat Peh should not be reading from a text. We violate that din today because the Gemara says there's Las Hashem Efer Torah Secha. They're afraid if they're going to, everyone's going to give the Shurim Baal Peh, so much of the Torah Shabbat Peh will be lost. So we're not, it's not an Iser, but we're not completely in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah B'Shleimus and the Siras HaTorah should be, the Torah Shabbat should be given, the Baal Kori should lay Mitzvah HaKsav, shouldn't lay Baal Peh, and the Torah Shabbat Peh should be transmitted Baal Peh, paralleled after Maimon HaSinai. And when we have a miturgaman, so the miturgaman shouldn't raise his voice louder than the one who says the shir. The Gemara learns out dina from Maimon HaSinai. So basically, that's what we said before. There's a fundamental machlokes hatanoim. This Rashi in the Ramban. When did the Maimon HaSinai occur? Was it after the Geiris was all over, and it was an act of Liman HaTorah? Or was it before the Geirus was clinched and the proclamation of the Aseret HaDibur was really part of the Geirus process, namely, Modim Osa Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Kalas and Mitzvahs Mitzvahs Chamez, that was HaHidos HaMitzvahs, the notification. So if one should assume the first way that the Geirus was already completed before, and the Maimon HaSinai was to the Jewish people, so Maimon HaSinai was really Liman HaTorah, so this is the paradigm of how we're supposed to teach Torah throughout all the future generations. Torah Shabbat should be transmitted Bechsav. Torah Shabbat Peh should be transmitted Baal Peh. Should be transmitted Be'im, Be'ira, Be'reses, Be'ziyah. And the Baal Kori shouldn't be leaning on the Shtend. And the Meturgman shouldn't say louder.
That's why for many Doros, the Meturgman will learn. So rather than leaning.
Also, yeah. More correct is to stand. The Gemara is more correct.
Maybe
the one time you
really have to stand
should be this morning.
When you get that, what we just described,
is
Maimon HaSinai,
Limud HaTorah,
then the
Tzibur
should stand.
The
Rambam
is opposed to standing for the laning about Maimon HaSinai. Because he's showing as if this is more important than the rest of the Torah. And the minig all over is that one, that the, most of the Kehillahs do stand for the reading of the Aseret HaDibur. So Rav Eitchik once suggested that it depends whether you're laning Tam HaElyon or not. That's also a deep dark secret. We don't know where that comes from, this Tam HaElyon. He said that his grandfather Abchaim never permitted them to lane Tam HaElyon. That is a violation of the din called Psukah de Lepas Kemosh and not Lepas Kinan. You lane sometimes four Psukim together, as if it were one Pasuk. Then you lane Lasir Tzoch, Lasinav, Lasignav. Is one Pasuk, you lane each one as a separate Pasuk. You break up the Aseret HaDibur into Dibur as opposed to Psukim. So that's in violation of the halach. He's supposed to lay psukim with her psukim. He's not supposed to lay a few psukim together. He's not supposed to break up one person. So where does this come from? Is it really a tradition? Tam Helyon, is it really a tradition? It's a question. The Rishonim mention it, that they used to lay Tam Helyon. So I'm only laying Tam Helyon on Shavuot. So others laying on even Parshas on Shavuot. So he said his grandfather never permitted him to lay in Tam Helyon. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe in those communities where they're laying Tam Helyon, so they're really reenacting Maimon HaSinai, so that's why they should stand. But in those communities where they're laying Tam HaTachtayim, so then they shouldn't stand. So he says the Rambam probably didn't lay in Tam Helyon. He's just a regular Kriyas HaTorah. So you shouldn't show more significance to this Kriya than to other Kriyas. It was mentioned before, I'll close with this, part of this was mentioned previously. There is a medrash on the opening pasuk in Bamidbar. Why did the Rabbi Shalom give the Torah in the Midbar? Why didn't he give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael? The Holy Torah should be given in Eretz Yisrael. So the medrash answers a very different answers, several answers. So one of the several suggestions that's given by the medrash Rabbah, Bamidbar Rabbah, is if the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael in some locations, so that shevet would claim, we're the balabatim on the Torah. We have the final say. We have the right to paskin, and no one else cannot vote us because the Torah was given in our chelik and Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Shalom gave the Torah, had to give the Torah in the makam hefker, and no one can claim that they're the balabatim on the Torah. Whoever sits and learns is the balabas.
And Yerushalayim
can't come because it wasn't given
as a...
It's an interesting, so why didn't Torah, why wasn't Torah given in Yerushalayim? It's a good question. I don't know. A very good question.
In certain way, it's only given because the staff din of every topic is in Yerushalayim.
Okay. I don't know. The final psak din, the Gemara says Yerushalayim lanas chakal shvatim means that it didn't belong to Shevet. Yerushalayim was divided between Yehud and Binyamin. Yerushalayim was a divided city. Al pi din, it had to be divided. Half of Yerushalayim had to be, the half where the Beis Hamikdash, where the Mizbech is built, had to be Bechelkos Shel Binyamin, and the half where the government offices are had to be in Chelkos Shel Yehuda. Had to be split, had to be a divided city. But the Gemara has a machlokes, and we pass from Leinitz Chakal Shvat means that Yehuda Binyamin didn't own, they didn't have Dini Mamun as Dika ownership, but it was called Chelkos Shel Yehuda and Chelkos Shel Binyamin. It was still called Chelkos Shel Yehuda. So the Netziv has a very interesting comment. He points out that Gemara, he talks a lot about this Gemara. Everyone else ignores this Gemara. The Netziv talks a lot about this Gemara in the Dorm Daf Lamed Ches. But the Gemara says, originally the Rebbe Shlom's plan was that he's only going to give the Torah to Moshe and his descendants. Moshe Rabbeinu was kind-hearted, not but Tavisai, and he was a tough guy, and so he said, I'll share it with everybody else. What does it take away from me if I'll give them to, I'm going to have the Torah also, I'll have the Torah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Torah was only intended for Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, it says all over in the Chumash. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion, it means like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was obligated to teach us the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, bottom line. And the mitzvah b'hagitzah v'yom v'layla means we should all study Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, just to study Piskei Halachos. But the whole pilpula shel Torah, to figure out how you learn it out from the Pasuk, and if you learn it from that Pasuk, the din should be like this. Learn it from that Pasuk, the din will be like that. This whole, what we call Pilpula Shel Torah, that was intended to be a private matana to Moshe Rabbeinu. He has the right to give it to his descendants. He has the right to hoard all of that knowledge for himself. But he was kind-hearted, so he said, why should he hoard it? And he may as well share it with everybody else. So when did Moshe Rabbeinu decide to share it with everybody else? When did he give his Mesiras HaTorah? So the Netziv has in his commentary, Netziv always has fantastic original suggestions, and then he quotes the Mamar Chazal, which somehow seems to say what he's driving at, sometimes, not always. But here he quotes Mamar Chazal, Mamash, people never heard of these, they dug up. He was a fantastic Baki. He quotes a Tosefta somewhere, and a Yerushalmi somewhere, and a Yalkut Shemaini, and a Sifrei, and he puts it all together, and that's what it says. Often in Taka, that's what it says. He puts together a whole bunch of sources. He says, in Aris Moyav, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Hoyom Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Azos Le'mor, so he was transmitting the whole Torah about the beginning of Chumash Dvarim, before Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die, the end of the 40 years, in Aris Moyav, that's when he decided to transmit the whole Pilpula Shel Torah, the whole secret, as to how to establish Dinim, how to figure out Dinim, he gave it at that time. So he raises the question, but this was already after they had already entered, Reuven the God and Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe had already conquered that area. So this is where he was giving the Torah Shabbat there, was in the chelik of one of these shvatim. So after Rabbi Shalom didn't want to give the Torah in Eretz Yisrael because he was concerned that Shevet is going to claim with the Balabatim. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu do such a silly thing? Why did he give the Torah in an area that belonged to one of the 2.5 shvatim? So he builds up a whole case based on his Mar Mekoymus, a very good case, that after the sin, after the Znus, Mul Beis Tor, as I said, well, Moshe Deres, I think it says this was Mul Beis Tor, after the Beis Tor. So he quotes Midrashim. Yeah, in the beginning of Chumash Dor. So he says, the Midrashim say, I think Reuven, after the sin of Beis Tor, so they were so terrified, they were so shaken up, so they all moved away from that area, and they were mafker that area. They don't want to own that. So Moshe Rabbeinu had now an area that didn't belong to anybody. So he was afraid one of the other shvatim was going to grab it. So he quickly decided, okay, this area doesn't belong to anybody, he's going to give over now all the secrets of the Torah Shabbat, and no one will be able to claim that it's theirs. And then there's this sefer that says, "Gurayeh is anek min habashon." Don't gurayeh. So I think he says that don't grab it up. There's a sefer that says who grabbed up that area that Reuven was misalik from. But Maisa, the bottom line, the Torah is hefkets open for everyone to learn, and it doesn't dafke belong to any one shevet or the other. We all have an opportunity. We all have an obligation to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Bottom line. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Tumpulus of Thurs, we have an obligation to learn that too. He gave it to us. And it's open for everyone. The Torah is not a Yerusha Dafke to any sect. Everyone has the ability to be Matzliach. Okay.
Mr. Chaisov. Mr. Kasher,
yes.
What are they going back? They don't have any restrictions because